But as I prayed, I don't think I've ever had a sermon that came together easier than what I'm going to bring out this morning. It was really neat. I actually had a message prepared. And as I sat down yesterday and I prayed, I don't know if you guys have any preachers in the house or anybody who's putting together life group or anything. You sit down and as you begin to read and pray, this just isn't right. And so God just completely flipped my message upside down. I had to throw out virtually everything that I had. I really only thought that I had that I knew the Lord had spoken so clearly. But I'm excited about this. God's going to do some great things. Acts 1, 6. Are you there? It says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, being Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put under his own authority. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he looked and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when he had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Now hop over to chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 1. Just putting perspective. I know most of you have probably seen, heard, read this, but this is good to keep in our hearts, right? This right here is Pentecostal foundations right here. So we got any Pentecostals in the house? Any Pentecostals say Shundai. There we go. So verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire and sat upon each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews and devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are these not all who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we are born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya joining the Cyrenes, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Christians, Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues. Yeah, give me a different one. And the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocked, saying, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, oh, that needs to be adjusted. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, said God. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men dream dreams. On my men servant and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. They will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before the coming and the great awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Lord, I just ask that your anointing would rest upon this word. God, we want to close out 2017 the right way. Lord, we want to close out 2017 and transition into 2018. Lord, with this mindset that, God, we're not going to be held captive to the failures or the disappointments of yesterday, but Lord, we are going to lay hold of that which you have promised to each and every one of us. Oh, God, I pray that as we shift into this new year, as we move into this time of fasting and prayer, Over the next month, God, I pray that you would begin to open revelation, that you would begin to pour out your spirit in unprecedented measure. God, we're believing here in Lahaina for a mighty move of your spirit, Lord. Historic revival being poured out on your sons and daughters. Oh, God, we pray, begin it here. Plant it in our hearts even today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, you may take a seat. I shared a moment ago, I've never really been big on resolutions. I'm okay with that, but I never really used to even emphasize New Year's at all. Like, I would decide, I'm going to start running. Anybody ever do this? I'm going to start running. You go buy yourself some new shoes. And if you're like me, I'm thinking, I got to track this thing. And so I'll get that little chip that you can put in your shoe, and you get the app that you can link in it. And then I run 2 times and I feel a pain, and then I'm done. And I'm not doing that again. And, I decide, and I'm gonna get back into this. I feel convicted every time I see several of you in this church. I've met at the gym, but you notice you haven't seen me for like the last month. And I feel bad, and I'm gaining weight. You know, we're going to fast, and then I need to get back into it. But the deal is, many times we'll make a commitment like that. Oh, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to work out. And then you're looking, and as you're reflecting on your life, even right now, you realize you're just as fat as you were in January, maybe even a little more. And so, you know, gym memberships, this is statistics here. In the first 2 weeks of January, there will be between a 30 and a 50% increase in gym membership. That's double. Their attendance or their membership will double. But by the second week in February, 80% of that will drop off. That means that, so this is actually, I saw an article about this. They say gyms sell memberships with the expectation that up to 80% will actually use it. I read that backwards. They sell gym memberships with the expectation that 18% will actually use it past the first month. Think about that. So, this is what resolutions are fine. If you're making resolutions, I'm not bashing that. I'm not putting that down. If that works for you, wonderful. Do it, set it, abide by it. Praise God. Have somebody keep you accountable. But what I'm asking God for, and what I would challenge you to begin to seek and ask God, is what, Lord, are the prophetic assignments that you have on our life and for our church for this year? What are the prophetic assignments? You understand how that's different than resolutions, yes? What are your prophetic, what is Holy Spirit speaking to us to do and to accomplish this year? This passage that I just read is very, very important. I'm sure we've all read it. I'm sure we've all heard sermons about it. But understand that when Jesus left this earth, he left us with a great commission. He said, I want you to go, and we know it, we can paraphrase it. You go, and I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to make disciples, and I want you to heal the sick and cleanse the leper and raise the dead. I want you to teach people to observe the things that I have taught you. What you have received, I want you to give to other people. This is what Jesus said. But then he stops, and he says, but before you go and try and do this, I want you to go and wait. I want you to go and wait in an upper room. This is where a lot of people miss it. We get the mission, and I've met a lot of individuals who are so passionate for the Lord, but they're trying to do by works what God has asked us to do under the grace of his Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, church, if we can walk under prophetic assignment, if we can walk under the unction of the Holy Spirit in what we say and do, I'm telling you, we will be so much more fruitful. We will be far more effective in all that we set our hands to do. That's my mission for this year. And so in In Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus begins to lay out how this is going to be accomplished. How are you guys going to fulfill this great commission? And in Acts chapter 2, we see something so profound that we read about. Again, we all know this story. We begin to see the first fruits, this first incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And why? Why is that important to us today? You might be saying, Pastor, that was 2,000 years ago. What does that have to do with us here today in Lahaina as a church? You know, just to summarize what we just read, these guys knew that Jesus, they knew that Jesus was going to build the kingdom of God. You understand, this is our mission. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm not going to expound on that. You've heard me talk about it many times over the last month. I will build my church in the gates of hell. This is what he said he was going to do. And so when Jesus had died and been resurrected, they were really expecting Jesus is going to go and he's going to overthrow the rulers in this area. He's going to set up a physical kingdom on the earth and we're going to get to rule with Jesus here in the earth. And so they were asking him here at the beginning of Acts, Jesus, when are you going to do this? When are we going to see you go and to establish your kingdom? And Jesus had a different idea in mind. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he looks at individuals and he says, listen, don't you understand you personally are a temple of the Holy Spirit? That the kingdom of God dwells in you. Think about that for a minute. I mean, church, in you dwells the kingdom of God. In you is the Holy Spirit. You are a temple. I'm telling you, you are a better picture of what the church looks like than this physical building that we're sitting in. Do you understand that? We were talking with somebody earlier this week about the beautiful churches all across Europe, multi-million dollar buildings that sit absolutely empty and dead. And I'm telling you, you get one spirit-filled, on fire man or woman of God who's backpacking across Europe. That looks more like the church than empty, multi-million dollar, beautiful buildings scattered all across Europe. Do you understand that? This is what Jesus was trying to teach. Listen, I know you guys want me to build a castle and you want me to rule with a rod of iron today. That's not happening yet. I am going to pour out my spirit in people. I am going to build my church and it's going to be through people. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he expands this idea a little bit. And he says, don't you understand that we together are the body of Christ? That we together are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And so as much as I love the idea of let's just put on a backpack and me and Leah, we're just going to go and we're just going to go be the church everywhere we go. The problem with doing only that is that you miss this whole other aspect that Jesus intended for the church to be. You understand that we are the best expression of the church when we are the church together. When we understand that we are a part of a bigger working body. I mean, how many of you, how well do you think your body would function if you only had a couple of your systems? You know, you understand you've got like a muscular system and a nervous system and a circulatory system and a respiratory system and what other systems? Those are the main ones. I feel like there's several more, but I'm not a doctor. I'm a pastor. So anyway, you guys can help me. But let me ask you, how many of those systems do you think need to fail in order for the body to fail? Only one. I'm telling you, you could have a fine respiratory system, but if your circulatory system fails, your heart stops beating. Guess what? It doesn't matter how healthy your skin is if your heart's not beating, right? It doesn't matter how well you can breathe if your brain's not functioning. And so here's the point. Jesus used this picture of the church so often that we are a body. We are the body of Christ. Church, we need one another. I might be the mouth of the body here in the church, but I'm telling you, if I don't have a support system, if we don't have this body coming together and functioning with one another, I'm telling you, church, we will not be effective in what God has called us to do. And so these are some of the concepts that Jesus laid out. And so, you know, Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. So he ascends. And then two angels show up on the scene and they say, what are you guys doing? Why are you just looking up into heaven? Didn't you hear what he asked you to do? Go into the upper room. And he says, but listen, the same way that you saw him go up, very soon you will see him come back down. And so they began to immediately point their attention to, listen, this is all leading up to something, that one day Jesus is going to close the book on all of this, that right now we've got the opportunity to see people come into the kingdom. We have the opportunity to see people born again, to save and escape the punishment of hell for eternity. But one day when Jesus comes back, he's going to close the door on all of this, and then it's done. And this is what he put their attention on. And I want you to understand, even in Acts chapter 2, he continues in this same verbiage, in the last days. And later on in the chapter, he begins talking about, you know, the blood and the moon and darkness and all kinds of scary stuff that we're not going to dig into just yet. I think we'll do that eventually on Thursday nights. It'll be fun. But, you know, he again pointed their attention towards, guys, in the last days, there's some stuff that's getting ready to happen. In church, how many of you believe? How many of you believe we're in the last days? I mean, like, for real. When I say I believe Jesus is coming back in our lifetime, I don't mean that hypothetically. I don't mean that figuratively. I'm not talking about I got a goosebump before I died. I'm talking about we will see Jesus come back. Many in this room, in fact, I would say most in this room, I believe that it's coming sooner than we think. And the Bible talks a lot about what the Lord intends to do in this last day. So I wanted to give you guys a few points this morning. This is a good thing to take notes on this morning. If you know, if you didn't bring a notebook or something, get out your phone, take notes. This is going to be really important. Things that I believe the Lord is speaking to our church about. That I believe he's speaking to our church about. And you'll see a lot of these expressed in one way, shape, and form in our text here. And so just stay there in Acts chapter 2, and you can follow along this. Before I really get deep into this, guys, I just want to say I am so excited about what God is going to do. I really am. I have never been. I've come to the end of year, and I look back and like, man, there is so much work that needs to be done, and there is work that needs to be done. But guys, I have never felt such an urgency that, you know what, today we can really contend that God would do something so profound, so historic, that God could really shake the nation. He could save these islands, and he could begin it right here. I mean, you guys have faith for that kind of stuff? Oh, I hope so. And so I'm really excited. But look at this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So I'm going to give you assignments based out of these verses. The day of Pentecost had fully come. They were with one accord in one place. The first week that I preached here, and I know some of you weren't here when I did this, and so I'm going to teach you a Greek word that is used right here. When it says they were in one place, in one accord, it is one, it's a Greek word that's used. Does anybody remember what that Greek word is? Okay, good thing I'm going to teach you about it today. It is the Greek word homothumadon. Everybody say homothumadon. Homothumadon. Homo means same, right? It means like, like one another or like a homo. It means same. Thumadon means fire or passion or desire. And so when you take these two thoughts and you put it together, this is, we have the same passion, or we have the same fire, or we have the same desire. I like to say fire just because I like being on fire, and I think that's the way we all ought to be. And so here's our assignment, that we may burn with the same fire. That we may burn with the same fire, with the same desire. You can write that in there if you'd like to, that we may burn. Because here's what you'll notice about the book of Acts, and this is where homothumadon became so real to me. You'll see in Acts chapter 2, mighty outpouring of the Spirit, mighty rushing wind coming. But here in the verse, just before that happened, they were all together in one accord. Homothumadon. They all had the same vision. They all had the same passion. They all had the same desire. And God poured out his spirit in incredible measure. In Acts chapter 4, we see a very similar outpouring of the spirit. Here they've gone out and they get rattled a little bit. A couple of their guys get arrested and they're having a little bit of struggle with, okay, how are we going to continue to minister with boldness when all of this is going on? Well, let's pray. And so they pray. And the Bible says that they were all together on Solomon's porch. And that's again, they were all together, homothumadon. And the Bible says that again, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And it says that the place that they were assembled was shaken. You'll see it again in Acts chapter 10. With Cornelius and his household. You'll see it all throughout the scripture, literally 6 different places throughout the book of Acts alone. When you see a mighty move of the Spirit, usually in the verse right before you see that, or in the verse immediately after, it will say, of the people, homothumadon. They had the same passion, they had the same fire, they had the same desire. This church is why I emphasize our prayer gatherings, especially during this 21 days. This is why I don't want you gone and you're not there for any of the prayer meetings. And then you come in and you wonder, why are we praying about this? Why is pastor preaching about this? Why do we have signage that says this? Why do we have small groups about this? Well, you need to get on the same page. And a lot of this is going to come out as we pray together, as we seek the Lord together, as God is speaking to you, as God is speaking to me, as God's going to begin to download his heart for this community, for this region and area, for this island, for the day and the age that we live in. But we need to be a people that are in it together. Because I'm telling you, I can be on fire all day long, but if you guys aren't on fire and running with me, it will accomplish nothing. You guys could be passionate. I mean, we've all probably experienced this where you get excited about something and nobody else gets excited about it with you. And usually it amounts to nothing. But imagine what the Lord would do if we could all together hear the heart of God. We could hear his intentions. We could hear his desire and say, you know what? You know what? I'm going to burn for that one right there. It might not even be something that you're passionate about. I don't even know. I mean, my wife talks about women's ministry. I'm not going to be involved with women's ministry, you understand. We talk with Rylan and Lee and their vision for the youth ministry in this next year. And I praise God every day that he didn't call me into youth ministry. I'm serious. I do not have a grace for youth ministry. I like you guys, okay? I like adults. And look, the Lord, he saw fit. Even when I was 21 years old, I became a senior pastor. I did not want to, I never wanted to view youth ministry as a stepping stone. I just, man, if you're called to youth ministry, minister to youth. If you're called to adults, minister to adults. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, do it, okay? But here's the deal. I'm not going to be involved in those ministries, but I am going to burn with Rylan and Leah to see the next generation raised up under the anointing, under the presence, under the power. I'm going to burn with them, and we can burn together to see our high schools touched, to see our junior highs, to see our children, man, set on fire under the anointing of God Almighty. You understand how this works. I'm not going to be involved in women's ministry, but you know what? I am going to burn with passion with my wife and with the other ladies in this church who have a heart with that. Yes, I'll be passionate, and I'll pray, and I'll. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that we all have to be involved with everything, but we all need to be on the same page. We need to understand where God is taking this church, and we need to burn together for those purposes. Amen? So, that's our first assignment. Here, we'll just continue down this passage. And suddenly there came together a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as a fire sat upon each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Here's the assignment. Write this down. That we would receive the Spirit, comma, be blessed, comma, as a testimony. That we would receive the Spirit, be blessed as a testimony. Now, I'm going to expand that a little bit. That's actually my abridged version. The original quote that I had, this was way too long to put into a single point, but this is the heart, and you guys can summarize this. This is what I believe the assignment and what the Lord is putting pressure on us in this next year, that we would receive the Holy Spirit and his blessings in such great measure that it would provoke unbelievers to godly jealousy. Let me say that again. I believe what the Lord wants to do. He wills that we would receive the Holy Spirit and his blessing in such great measure that it will provoke unbelievers to godly jealousy. Let me tell you what that looks like, church. Our lives should preach the gospel. Our lives should preach the goodness of God. Here's my couple prayer points, and we can add. I want to hear what you guys would think, but I believe that our marriages, that our health, that our finances, that our children, that our businesses, that our education, our studies, maybe even in our athletics, I believe absolutely in our athletics, everything that we set our hands to, everything that we're involved in, church, it should be blessed above and beyond what the world is. Flat out. I don't hear a lot of you guys agreeing with me. Maybe you're still processing this, but what I want to believe for is that as individuals in the world, they have nothing to do with the church. They have nothing to do with God. They don't know what it is to be blessed. They don't know what it is to have favor. They don't know what it is to, you know, see prosperity supernaturally. But what I want is that as they look into the lives of individuals who belong to the church of Jesus Christ, they would say, how is your marriage so strong? How are your kids so well behaved? How come you never get sick? How come it is that your business is so blessed? How is it that your kids are getting straight A's in school? How is it that your kid's the starting quarterback of the team and he's small? You know, I mean, these are the kinds of things that I want people, they should be. You are so blessed that they begin to wonder, how is that happening? What is going on in your life? And the only response that you can give is only Jesus. It's only the goodness of God that has been poured out on my life. This is what God desires to do. You know, I just think, man, God wants to bless us so incredibly abundantly. Our lives should look different. And I'm telling you, I got real irritated. You want to know where this came from? I got real irritated over early morning prayer this last month. And this is the reason why. Is because I'd noticed that individuals would be missing, you know, here or there. They'd be gone for a week. And where are they? Man, they got that flu bug. And it has absolutely wiped them out. And I don't want to get upset that people aren't showing up to prayer. But I get upset. People shouldn't be getting sick in the house of God. Our prayer warriors, most of all, should not be getting sick in the house of God. I mean, shouldn't our lives be a test? I saw one statistic that said that that flu cases this year are up 736% over last year. I mean, that is ridiculous. How many of you guys have either had or you know somebody who's had this flu bug and it's hit them like a ton of bricks? Probably everybody, yeah. I mean, us too, our house. And it irritates me because I'm like, okay, 736, that's a fine statistic for the world. Shouldn't the church be lower than that? Shouldn't the church, I know there's some guys who don't believe in healing, and that's fine. Let them get sick. But if we believe in divine healing and we believe in the power of God, man, shouldn't we have? We got some statistics to back it up that, you know what? The statistics out there are 736%. But in here, oh boy, man, we only had one guy and I'm pretty sure he was in sin and he got, yeah. You understand what I'm saying? All right, I'm going to stop before I get in trouble. But another thing that I'd like to point out on this on this assignment right here, listen, because I know immediately some of you guys start thinking, man, you know, that's good, Pastor. I'm so glad that somebody else got healed. I'm glad that somebody else's marriage is strong. I'm so glad that, you know, man, their business is doing wonderful. But that's just not for me because, man, I've failed the Lord. I've done this or that. I missed his will here and there. And just one thing that I want to point out that really encourages me about Acts chapter 2. you notice that it says that a tongue of fire came, and there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon the 12 disciples. No. One sat upon the ordained ministers. No. One sat upon, what does it say? One sat upon all of them, or each of them. You understand, everybody got a fire. Everybody got the Holy Spirit. It just wasn't those who were getting ready to go into other nations to spread the gospel. It was poured out on individuals that God knew they were going to go back to, you know, running their carpentry business. He knew that it was being poured out on individuals who were school teachers. He knew that it was being poured out on a mother who was only going to stay at home and care for her children. He knew as he poured out his spirit, he poured it out on all of them. And I want you to get this in your mind today. That listen, God has a plan, a purpose, a call. He's got a fire for you. It's not that you just watch, well, I know this guy's being raised up to take over a church one day. I know this guy's going to sit up on the healing team. And so, man, we're going to pray for the fire to grow in him. No, I want you to pray. Yeah, pray for that. That's part of homothumadon. But I want you to also pray, Lord, what's the fire that you have for me? What's the anointing that you have for me? What is it that you want to grow and you want to develop in me? Because God has a desire to use each and every single one of you. You understand the crowd that was up there in this room. There were some messed up individuals who blatantly denied and ran from God. But these are the ones that he used to shake the early world in that day. This is what God wants to do. So that's our assignment. Here's the next thing. Continuing down this verse, there were some dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under the sun, and they heard them speaking some in their own language. I'm skipping around a little bit. I'm not going to read the whole list of the nations. They were amazed, saying to one another, "Look, these are all Galileans. How do we hear our own language in the nations in which we were born?" And then jump down. It says, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." Amazing. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying with one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others mocked, saying, "They're full of new wine." This is just I debated whether I make this a main point or just a bonus point, but you can write it down anyway. Here's our assignment. Silence the enemy. Silence the enemy. I just want you to look at this. There were a few that mocked. Oh, these guys are just drunk. And what I just think about how we would respond to this today. I mean, you imagine, I don't know how big that crowd was. We know that when Peter got up and he preached, there were 3,000 that came to repentance, 3,000 that were baptized that day. Amazing. The crowd had to be at least 3,000, but I have just a personal opinion. Just common sense would tell me it was probably a lot bigger than that. And so you have a crowd of 3,000, maybe 4,000, maybe 5,000 people that are gathered here. There was something so profound about the way God was pouring out his spirit there in the upper room. Everybody, guys, can you imagine what that mighty rushing wind must have sounded like? I was just thinking about this here recently. For all of this entire region and area, I mean, you just imagine if something so loud and so profound happened right here, and it was loud enough that the entire city of Lahaina, maybe the entire west side of Maui, decides, what in the world was that? Well, it came from over this way, and then they begin to drive out this way, and then they see a massive crowd of people. I mean, that's what happened there on that day. Thousands of people gathered because they heard something so loud and so profound. And people are gathering together. And here is a harvest that is ripe to be swept into the kingdom. And there's a few people complaining. A few people mocking. A few people making fun. And I don't know why it is, but I don't want to overlook this. You could have 10 people come up to Edwin. "Edwin, you did a good job playing guitar today. That was great, man. I didn't know you could play like that. That was wonderful. Man, good job. Good job." You have 10 different people that come and tell him, but you get one guy who comes up to him and, "Boy, you just stink. You missed that note right there, and you look really goofy holding that guitar. What are you? Do you even know how to play? Were you making that?" I'm not going to keep on going, otherwise I'll hurt his feelings. "I really do think you did a good job. But here's the deal. If that happens, you know, and if that happened genuinely, if one person came up and really did say something like that, what is he going to think about all day, all week? He's going to think about the one guy who criticized him. Even though 10 others said, boy, you did a really great job. I didn't even know you could play guitar. That was wonderful, man. You know, you could have. But why is it? I think we're all geared that way a little bit. We could have everybody just saying, man, this is so wonderful. This is so incredible. You get one criticizing word, and it's just, boy, that's the end of it all. And you imagine what would have happened if Peter would have got out and, boy, guys, I don't know about this. People are really thinking we're crazy right now. People think that we're drunk. We really need to tone this down right now. Let's present this in a way that nobody's going to get offended, that nobody's going to get upset about what's going on here. Guys, I'm telling you, if that would have been his response, this probably wouldn't even have made the Bible because it wouldn't have been of any significance. You guys understand what I'm saying this morning? We need to be a people that we silence criticism. We silence the enemy because I'm telling you, that's the devil straight up that's speaking. We will miss sometimes. We will miss opportunities that God presents before us because we listen to one criticizing word. Look at the nations that were gathered there. Look at the people, the thousands who were ready to be swept in. I mean, they interrupted his sermon and asked him, what must we do to be saved? I mean, imagine the hunger that was in these people. And he could have missed it if he would have listened to a criticism. You need to silence the voice of the enemy. That's a good word for this year. Amen? Next verse. Standing up with the 11, Peter raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I love that. God illuminated that. It hit me like a ton of bricks about a year and a half ago. Guys, I want to have these kinds of moments where we stand up and we say, guys, remember that prophecy that came out? Remember what the Bible said in this time? Remember what Prophet Critcher? Remember that word that came out 20 years ago? Guys, this is that. It's happening right now. You know, I get a little irritated, okay? If you can't tell, I'm coming out of this year with a lot of irritation, okay? But here's what irritates me. Every church you go to has prophecies about the revival that's that church. Every church you go to, okay? Lahaina's not the only one that's got it. And what I feel like is there's two ways that I can take it. Here's the negative way and here's the positive way, okay? I'll give you both of them. The negative thing is I feel it's got this carrot on a stick kind of mentality. It's always out there, and we know that we can lay hold of it, but it's always just going to be a little bit beyond our grasp and our reach. And, man, you'll go to that church 20 years, 40 years later. You'll go there 80 years. What they prophesied about way back then, and went, man, we're just chasing after it. We're gonna go after it. Okay, I don't want to do that. Break the stick, get the carrot. I want to lay hold of some things. The reason now this is my positive spin on that. You don't want to know why I believe most churches have prophecies about revivals and great moves of God that the Lord wants to do? Because I really believe that's God's intention. I really do. The Bible says that in the last days, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. I believe that the greatest revival that we are going to see in history is going to happen immediately before the return of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we're getting close to that. And that's why I believe God is putting pressure on churches all around the world. Are you going to be one who will host my spirit? Are you going to be one who will host a move of God? This is what the Lord is asking us today. But I don't want to pursue this. Here's the assignment, okay? Here's the point. Write this down. Contend for a today move of the Spirit. Let's contend for a today move of the Spirit. Not one day. Not tomorrow God's going to do something, but how about today God is doing something? Guys, I want to have these moments where I stand up and I say, this is that the Lord said. This is that which the prophet, this is the fulfillment of what God has desired to pour out. Now here's one word that I, man, grab a hold of this. It's just one word. This is an addition to this point right here. But this word, traction. I felt like this was a word, and some of you need to lay hold of this, because I know there's individuals that you have been chasing after the promises of God, and it feels like that carrot on a stick sort of thing. Like it's right there, it's so close, but yet I don't have it. And what I felt like the Lord had spoke to me in a time of prayer, this is actually earlier this year, but this was the one point that he allowed me to really release, because I feel like it's a word for us, that it's not going to be any longer you're chasing after this thing and always just one step behind. It's not going to be that you're driving towards this thing and your wheels are spinning in the mud. Lord is going to give you traction. And where your wheels have been spinning, you're going to be able to gain some traction and actually move forward and into what he desires to pour out into your life. Some of you need to grab a hold of that. You need to pray. Say it. You need to take action. You say, okay, God, this business thing that you promised me, this financial thing that you promised me, the salvation of my children that you promised me, this thing for the church, this ministry thing, I don't know what it is that's in your heart that you've been praying, contending, believing for, but expect traction as you pursue these things. Amen? Here's the next thing. Next verse, it says, it will come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Here's our assignment. We must love with a covenantal love. We must love with a covenantal love. I'm going to pray into this, and I might change the verbiage on this a little bit, but I really think this is going to become a very important aspect of who we are as a church over the next years. That we are going to be a people that love with covenantal love. You know what covenantal love is? I mean, there's a lot of biblical examples, and I'm sure I'll preach on this in the coming months, but covenantal love is a kind of love that says, you know what, brother, I'm going to be for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to sow into you. I'm going to give into you, even if you never do anything for me. Even if you stab me in the back, even if you go and slander me to somebody else, I am still going to love you and bless you and pray for you and encourage you. That's what covenantal love is. I mean, when you got married, how many understand? See, what the way that most of us operate, the way most people, and even the way most churches operate, is under contractual agreement. You know what? You come into the church and great, what can you do for me? I'll be your pastor. I'm saying this is the way most. This is not how we operate, but this is how many operate. You know what? I will make time for you because you lead this ministry in the church, because you give this much in the offering, because you do this for me, and I will do this for you. Sure, I will pour into you. That's not covenant. That's contract. You do this, and I will respond with this. But that's the way many of us, even if we don't have malicious intent, that's the way most of us operate. It's like a job, right? You come into work, you put in this many hours, I will pay you this many dollars. You go above and beyond like this, these are the benefits that I'm going to give you. You give your life to us in this measure, and this is what we're going to give you in response to it. That's a contract. That's not how I believe God wants us to operate. Because you think about a marriage. If your marriage operated in, listen, Leah, you made real good dinner, and you've been nice, you've not been complaining much, so I'm really going to love you today. How long do you think our marriage is going to last if we operate under relationship? You do this for me, and then I will respond with this, okay? You're going to punish me by withholding yourself because I was a jerk today. It doesn't work like that. You understand what I'm saying? Is that over the line? I'm just telling, guys, can we be real here? Because we know this is how marriage works at times. That's not covenant. We were given a great piece of counsel when we first got married, and it's been something that I've passed on to every couple that I've counseled in premarital counseling, and I pass it on to you guys. Marriage is not 50-50. You do half, I do half. Marriage is not 50-50. Understand, marriage is 100%, 100%. That you know what? Even if she's having an off day, if she's had a rough time, and she's not pumping at 100%, guess what? I'm still going to love her and serve her and bless her and be in covenant with her and honor her and esteem her and serve her and do all of the things that I would, because I'm giving 100%, because that's what covenant does. And you know what? There's going to be times where I'm dragging down, but she is still under the covenant that she's going to give 100% all of the time. Now, can you imagine what our church would look like if we all loved one another like that? Well, that person's not a tither. I don't care. They're a person, and I love them. Well, that person doesn't have any leadership equity. They're not smart enough to lead a life group. That's okay. I still love them, value in them. I still want them here. Man, that person's been divorced 3 times. I don't care. I still love them. I still want them here. I still want to. So can you imagine what our church would look? Church, the world doesn't love like that. I'm telling you, that is the kind of love that Jesus gives us. You know what? When you were a bonehead, when you were running away from God, when you were steeped in sin, when you were an idiot, he still says, you know what? I still love you and I still want you. Come into my family. I will shed my blood for you. I will die for you. So let's love with a covenantal love. Let's continue. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You know, here's our assignment. I want to create an atmosphere where Holy Spirit is welcome. Create an atmosphere where Holy Spirit is welcome. I want to be so intentional about considering, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? Every time we gather, no matter what service we're here for, Holy Spirit, what is your desire today? Where this kind of came from this last week, I kind of got rebuked a little bit by Holy Spirit. And let me tell you what happened. This is a great breakthrough. You can see there's carpet stains and stuff, holes in the ceiling. We got all kinds of stuff that's just out of order here in the house. But because of that, we had insurance company come in. And guys, we got a check this last week that was just over almost $85,000. Now, that's a great praise, because what you're going to see is, you know, devil wants to flood us and ruin this facility, but he didn't know that he was buying us new carpet. He was buying us new ceiling tiles. He was buying us renovation in the children's space. That money's going to go a long way, and we're going to do a lot. And here's what we were doing. So my wife and I, we got this, and we're praising Jesus. Man, thank you, God. What are we going to do? And so we start walking through every room in here, and, we even had Pastor Josh and Shannon. They came out, and, man, if you guys were in our shoes, what would you do? What would you change in this place? And so we were all walking through and we were talking about it, and we're just, guys, this whole church is going to get a facelift over the next several months. I mean, every room is going to look different. Every room is going to be painted. We had a family very generously say they wanted to help paint the outside of the church. And so it's like outside and inside, this entire church is going to look different over the next months. Now, so this is, yeah, that's worth praising God. Now, some of you are already thinking, what color is the carpet going to be? What are we going to do with the hedges out there? What are we going to, what color are you painting the church? Some of you are already wondering, well, what did Pastor Josh and Santa, are we going to build a wall, tear down a wall? What are we going to do with the walls? And so you guys, I already know this is how it goes. And so my wife and I, we were walking around and we were talking and we're just like, well, let's paint it this color. And Pastor Josh had an opinion on the color and this and that. And we were going around, and so after that had happened, my wife and I just went, and we like to sit on the front steps out there and pray. We just look at the church and we'll talk and we'll pray. And we were doing that. And I felt this rebuke come into my spirit. And I felt like Holy Spirit asked me, have you thought about what color I want the church? I'm serious. I told Leah right in that minute. And I stopped. I stopped our conversation and I prayed right then and there. Holy Spirit, I want you to make it known. I know people have opinions. I have opinions. Everybody's got an idea about what needs. But Jesus, oh, may we seek you and what's your desire. I mean, have you ever thought, we sing a song, well, that's an old song. I don't like that song. Maybe Holy Spirit likes that song. I mean, we live and we operate so much out of what I want or what I desire, what's going to appeal to this person or that group. But how often do we stop and we really order our services, or we construct our building, or we paint a wall considering, Holy Spirit, what's going to be pleasing to you? What's gonna attract? I want to attract people, man. I want people drawn into this house, but far more than that, I want to attract the attention and the presence of Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you, if we get Holy Spirit moving and operating as He desires to move here, I'm telling you guys, we won't have a problem filling this house. We won't have a problem. We won't even need to put a sign out front. People are gonna know God is doing something in that place, and I want to be a part of it. So I want to pray into that over this next year. Here's the last thing. Acts continues, I'll show my wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor, smoke. Sun will be turned to darkness, moon to blood. And these are last days, okay, it's coming. And it will come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Church. One thing, if there's any one thing that I took away from Steve Hill and what I saw in his laborings and his prayer in revival, is that the greatest sign of revival, the greatest sign of a move of God, is the salvation of souls. Miracles are wonderful. I want to see it. Deliverance is wonderful. A prosperity, blessing, all of these things, I want to see it. And we're going to have it in coming into this new year. But I'm telling you, I've watched too many churches. I've watched too many movements. They get only about how can the believers get blessed, and they forget the mission of Jesus. At the very beginning and the very end, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we get so intentional, well, we can prophesy over each other and heal each other, and boy, all our businesses are successful, but we're not seeing people get right with God, we have missed the mark altogether. We've missed it altogether. I want you to stand to your feet. Rylan, would you come in? Play the piano here. God's going to do great things in this next year, amen? I hope you guys are excited about it. I can hardly contain myself. I have never been so excited to fast. Fasting is not fun. But I'm excited for it because I know what it's going to produce. Guys, God's going to take us to crazy places we can't even imagine. You know that verse in Ephesians, God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. What can you imagine? Because I can imagine a lot. I can imagine a lot. God wants to do more. Think about that for a minute. Our wildest dreams and imagination for this house, for what God could do, He wants to do more. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes all across this room. Part of the last day outpouring of the Spirit and part of what we're believing for here in Lahaina is that all who would call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not difficult. You may hear me talking about gifts and God growing us and you get a fire and all of these kinds of things, but your thought that comes into mind is, Pastor, I'm not even right with God right now. I need Him to cleanse my sins. I need him to make me right. I want to press and believe for all that you're talking about today, but I need to get right with Jesus. Listen, nobody's looking around right now. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you prayed a prayer sometime, but you've never truly made Him the Lord of your life, meaning Jesus, lead me, take me, direct me. Everywhere you want me to go, I'm yours. Live your life through me. If you've never truly prayed that and meant that, nobody's looking around. This is between you, me, and God. I want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you and you say, today, I'm making a decision. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to make Him the Lord of my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand right now so I know who I'm talking to. Amen. I see those hands. I see those hands. Are there others? I see your hand. Yes, God bless you. Yeah, I see that hand. God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? Yeah, I see that hand. God bless you. Okay, hands down. This is the next thing I want to pray towards. Maybe you're here today. You say, you know what, Pastor? I once was very close to Jesus. I was on fire for God. But something happened. Sin came in. Man, my life got messed up. Somebody hurt me. I got wounded in the church. I don't know what it might be. I went through a divorce, whatever it is. And you just say, you know what? I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. But today, I want to get right with Him. If that's you, I want you to lift up your hand all across this room. Who am I talking to? Yeah, I see that hand. I see those hands. Yeah, amen. Amen. I see your hand. God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? Amen. I see your hand. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. Here's the last thing. This is gonna touch a lot of us, I know. But you're here, and you just feel like the devil is hanging on your back. When you hear me talk about those accusations or those criticisms, man, that's about all you can hear. And you just feel like the devil is hanging on to you and will not let you go. Today, I'm telling you, today is a day of freedom. No longer is sin going to bind you. No longer is the harassing of the enemy going to haunt you. No longer are your mistakes of the past going to bind you up. If you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor Jacob, I want the voice of the enemy silenced over my life. I don't want to tolerate his influence in sin or his harassing or his condemnation any longer. If that's you, would you lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah, yeah. Many hands, many hands, many hands. Amen. Amen. So what I want you to do, everybody all across this room, I want you to lift your hands to heaven right now. I want everybody to pray this with me. Just repeat after me. Pray, dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I have sinned. Wash me, Jesus. Cleanse me and make me brand new. I ask you to be the Lord of my life, the Lord of my future, the Lord of my past, the Lord of my will, everything I set my hands to do. I want you involved in it. Work out of me what needs to go. Implant in me what needs to grow. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior, to be my Lord, and my very best friend. Come live your life through me. I believe your word that says, if I call on you, I will be saved. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, and to use me to establish your kingdom here in the earth. Speak to me and use me in 2018. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and for using me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah. I want you to take the hands of the person next to you right now. I'm not going to take a long time on this. Listen, I know we're right at time, and I want to honor your guys' time. This Thursday, we are going to kick off our prayer and fasting in a great way. I want to lay hands on everybody. We're just going to have a full-bore Holy Ghost, you know, just... if you guys like that, that's what it's going to be on Thursday. We're going to start this thing off right, because I know you're going to need grace. I'm going to need grace to stand through this fast and remain strong through it all. And so we're just going to start this thing off strong, full bore, Holy Ghost, okay? God's going to speak some great things. And listen, if you made a decision for Jesus for the first time ever, or for the first time in a long time, I know who most of you were that raised your hand, and I'll talk to you guys. But if you made that and I don't catch you, maybe I didn't see your hand, make sure you talk to somebody. Talk to a minister. Talk to a leader. If you're new to this church, just find somebody who was praying up here earlier, or come find me and let me know. I made a decision for Jesus, and I want to start my 2018 off the right way. The right way. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray an incredible blessing. I want you to pray that Holy Spirit would lead and use each and every one that you're holding hands with right now. This is going to be, pray that this is the best year of their life. Amen. Amen. Lord, we do right now. We just lift up. We pray for one another all across this room. I just ask God that you would pour out your Spirit in a great and unprecedented measure in each and every life. I ask that this would be the greatest year of blessing, the greatest year of favor, the greatest year of your anointing, the greatest year of breakthrough, Lord, that we have ever experienced in Jesus' name. I pray for your goodness to be revealed in, over, and through our lives. I pray especially for those who prayed a prayer of commitments to you. Lord, I'm asking that you would sustain us in our walk with you, that God, we're starting 2018 the right way, that we're beginning it with you. And Lord, I just declare over each and every one, they will not stray from the path, they will stay on it. Oh Jesus, we just thank you for what you're doing in each and every one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.